Yeah, Frank here has got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's what do you call it, Kramer?
Billiard room.
No, not billiard. Not the billiards. It was...
Billiards room.
Come on already. Come on. We call it the...
The place to be.
The place to be. Yes, the place to be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so...
That's what she said.
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it is now time for the Place to Be podcast. And now your hosts, Justin Rosero and Scott Criscolo.
Very nice, Mr. Criscolo. Place to Be Nation, welcome to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be podcast. I am your co-host, Justin Rosero, and with me, as always, is my PIC, celebrating on this, I don't know, what is it, centennial slash silver slash platinum, what's 125, I don't know.
JR, it's always a pleasure. Let's actually take a look at that, I'm not quite sure. 125th anniversary. I think it's diamond.
Diamond, huh?
I think it's a diamond, 125th. I shouldn't use Wikipedia. I'll use Google. Let's see if that actually.
The ruse may pass by, but diamond podcasts place to be.
Yes, 125th anniversary. Yeah, it doesn't say what it is, but anyway, it is the 125th episode of the Place to Be podcast. I think 50 is golden. 75 and 100. I don't know. 125 years. Who knows?
So do we add 125 maybe and the golden shower anniversary?
Oh, then we could get LaRue in on it. All right, anyway. all right. It is episode 125, and it is our midweek cornucopia of fun and games. We got a lot to talk about tonight. We'll, of course, go over this past Sunday's Extreme Rules, which took place in Chi-Town. I watched all of it. You watched, what, second half of it, I guess?
On and off, but I saw the part that matters.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the big part that matters. And the post part that matters. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that later. Then we'll go over Raw, which I really liked. I thought Raw was great this week. And then our the SmackDown recap. And then, of course, our news and notes brought to you by our good friends at WrestleChat.net. And then the return, finally. We run a good roll without needing it, but we return this week. And that is the PTB Nation Asshole of the Week.
Mm-hmm. Lots of nominees, too.
Yeah, lots of nominees. And I'm actually gonna forget Greenhouse trying to do any kind of list. So I'm actually gonna keep a pad, my notebook next to me, and I'm gonna write the winners.
Okay, very good.
So at least we guarantee that we're actually gonna have it. And then we will go over any little sports, NBA playoffs, a lot of interesting stuff going on, and of course the very very tragic thing that happened today, mm-hmm. and that was the death of former All Pro linebacker Junior Seau. Very very disturbing. What happened there, and that'll be it. And if there's anything else, we'll pop up. We'll talk about. So why don't we get started and go over Extreme Rules, which took place this past Sunday
from the Windy City, Chicago, Illinois. Of course, the last pay-per-view from Chicago was the tremendous Money in the Bank, which occurred as you were cruising around the world.
Yes.
And, this time, you were lucky to see this show because I think it may be the best pay-per-view since that one.
Yeah.
Overall, to be honest with you. Although TLC was pretty good, too.
TLC was great.
Yeah. All right, so we had the YouTube pre-show, of course, was Miz challenging Santino Marella. Santino gets the win there, retains the United States Championship.
Yeah. I didn't see that. That's the only thing I didn't see. So
okay.
I didn't see that on the show.
So we begin the...
I heard it wasn't bad.
Yeah, it seemed pretty standard.
Yeah.
Okay, so we begin the pay-per-view proper there, and it kicks off with backstage with a little spin the wheel, make the deal for Big Show Cody Rhodes, and it lands on tables match. So that stipulation was now official for the IC title match between those two. So,
yes.
So the opener, Falls Count Anywhere, Kane and Randy Orton. So I'm going to defer to you, Scott, to just give us a quick little thoughts on these matches since I didn't see this first half.
Well, I think the main reason that they're using this Stip a lot is because a DVD is coming out later this year on a myriad of...
It's going to be all matches from 2011, 2012.
Yeah, pretty much. I think they've had like 14 matches in the last 3 years of this stipulation. And it was good. I mean, it was typical match between the two. I mean, Orton, and you know, they brawled into the back and all that stuff. The end was cool. Orton hits Kane with an RKO on a folding chair to get the win. And I ended up starting a bit of a fight, actually, with the guys. I actually said, and our friend's son is a diehard Kane fan, and I pretty much, about halfway through this match, I pretty much said, I'm just tired of watching him. I just said it. And I was like, what are you talking about? And we got this whole big, not a screaming match, we got this whole big debate during the match. And look, I have nothing against Kane. The guy's been a rock-solid competitor. He rarely has taken time off. And I mean, let's be honest, JR, did we think this character was going to last 15 years? Probably
not. I mean, the original plans for him to last 5 months.
Yeah, pretty much after WrestleMania 14 and maybe Unforgiven that year in the Inferno, and that was it.
Yeah, it was not supposed to really last much past that. So
yeah, so 15 years.
Still going
at 15 years. And he's been rock solid. He's had good feuds and everything. But all I'm saying is that just at this point, there's just nothing left. Now he's got the masks back on. Maybe eventually he'll take them off. I mean, what can he really do at this point? You know,
he brings like a comfort feeling, though, to the show. It's like... I don't know. You know he's there. You know he's going to have his little segment. You know he's going to put his effort in. And it's going to be kind of weird when he's gone finally.
Yeah, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that he's making the shows bad. I'm just saying I'd be like, yeah, all right, whatever. You know. And Orton gets the win, as mentioned. He hits Kane with the RKO on a folding chair.
I've read decent reviews on this match, and obviously better than their. But I actually like their Mania match too. But they have decent chemistry together. But you're going to think this finally ends this feud, I would think.
Yeah, I think so. I think Orton's up for some other. I don't know what his scoop is between now and you know what's going on for the next show, which we'll talk about in a little bit. I don't know what's going on there. He might be kind of left in limbo. I'll have to wait and see. But he gets the win here, and I think this feud is pretty much finished. I mean, they pull out Cowboy Bob and Paul Bearer. So
P.S. Your cunt is in the sink.
You know what that means.
I'd sit back there, Sunshine. You've had a very busy 48 hours there, Funky.
Well, that brings
very
us,
busy 48 hours.
That brings us to our next segment, where he's backstage with Eve, and they're celebrating with Teddy Long bringing them some champagne. But then the phone rings, and it's Triple H. Laurinaitis walks off and says, we'll talk in a more private place. We get a little bonus mass action. Brodus Clay versus Dolph Ziggler. Brodus won, seems fairly easily, with the big splash. Any thoughts there, or just...
Well, I was about to ask you a question because you're the big Dolph guy. I mean, I like him, but you've been beating his drum for a while. Are you getting officially frustrated? Because I feel like he hasn't won a match in about 2 months.
Yeah, you know, I was okay with it for a while because I kept saying, you know, after Mania, I think they'll jack him back up. You know, leading into Mania is always tough to push new guys, and it's just not happening. And I don't, if you're going to have a guy consistently job for Clay and other guys, why just have Swagger be that guy? Because, you know, obviously not serious behind him. And Dolph was really over for a while. So I'm really hoping that they change gears as we head to late summer, heading in, to next year's stretch of WrestleMania. I'm hoping by then he's a major player because he deserves it. He's worked so hard and he's so good.
Yes.
I can't see what they continue to be busting his balls about at this point.
Well, don't forget, we also have there is officially Money in the Bank in July, so and maybe he's just paying a little. I don't know why he needs to pay dues. I think he's paid more than enough.
Honestly, I think it's almost like in a job where you're punished because you're so good at it that they don't promote you. I think that's the thing is he's so good at bumping and selling and putting guys over that they almost don't want to elevate him because they'll lose him in that role. I think that's, you know, he's almost like bulletproof on that level because he's so good at it. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, Brodus needed the win too, so it's fine. But I wish now they'd finally stop with the Ziggler pushing. So
yeah, I agree.
All right.
Yeah, the match itself was all right. Nothing much.
Okay. Up next was the tables match for the IC title, Cody and Big Show. I've read mixed things on this match. I read that it just wasn't very good, and not a lot of people. I saw it pretty split. Some people liked the finish; they thought it was innovative. Some people hated it. And what did you think about Cody getting tossed through the tables in that bump? I've seen a lot of people bitch saying it was unnecessarily dangerous. So give me your thoughts on the match and then the bump at the end.
The match was very good. It was a typical match between a big guy and a little guy. And I thought the ending wasn't bad. I didn't think it was that dumb. I thought it was actually quite ingenious. I mean, they didn't you know, they were able to get Cody the belt without making Big Show look weak, and that's fine. I mean, again, Big Show's in that Kane role. He's always going to be rock solid. His size helps with certain feuds and stuff. Why job him clean, you know?
Right, and plus it was something different seeing him step through the table like that.
Yeah, you've never seen – it's not often that you get to see a match where Big Show's size actually becomes a liability. It's very rare.
Will you stop?
And your size was never a liability, Mr. President, never. You know, so I don't think it was that big a deal. It's fine. As for the throw to the – I don't think it was that bad. He landed flat on a table. It's not like he was thrown, you know, through anything that was going to sharp hit him or anything. I mean, I've seen guys go through tables harder. I mean – It didn't bother me. Cody's got to suck it up. I don't think it's him.
I didn't see him, bitch. I'm just saying.
No, I don't think it's.
I've railed against this kind of thing in the past. Useless spots that just are thrown in there for no reason. Like, was this really necessary to take a bump like this? I mean, did they need it? Did it help anything? Is it going to be forgotten already by next week? Probably. It probably has been forgotten.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, the choke slam through the table in the ring probably was enough. I don't think it was. It wasn't necessary, no. But was it dangerous? Nah, not really. I mean, it seemed like he landed. Yeah, it was a long drop, but he landed flat. It's not like he landed on his head or on his badly on anything. So, the question is, though, was it necessary? No.
The
ring was fine enough.
And those are the big bumps I don't care for when they're not really needed to further anything. So, all right, that brings us to our next match, the World Heavyweight Title match. 2 out of 3 falls, Daniel Bryan and Sheamus. I only got to see parts of this. I was in and out of the room. I really need to go back and watch it, apparently, because I've heard tremendous things about it. I've heard nearly 5 stars, 4.5, 4 stars in that range. Obviously, what they could have done at Mania, if given the time. Sheamus wins the first fall, and actually I predicted this to a T on our message board. Sheamus gets the first fall by DQ, and then I love it because Bryan did it just to set up Sheamus to set up the yes lock, and he gets a submission to tie it up, and then it becomes a one fall match, and Sheamus ends up winning with the brogue kick to retain his title. Now I think this is exactly what we had hoped for. Maybe not hoped for. Obviously we would have liked to see Bryan get the belt back, but he looks strong in losing. They didn't squash him in 2 falls. He got a submission win, which is big, and he hung in there. You know, this is what, over 20 minutes or so. So I thought this was pretty good booking, and we'll get to where Bryan's headed next when we get to Raw, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, I love this match. It was unbelievably well put together. I think if anything, it actually pushed Daniel Bryan even more than Sheamus, with Sheamus getting the win. Mm-hmm. I think it made both guys look very strong. I loved the whole Triple H Rock Judgment Day 2000 philosophy of, you know what, I'll give up one pin to get another.
Right.
And that's pretty much what he did. And my pin is longer lasting. Yeah, I got DQ'd, but you know what? I just kicked him in the ribs like fucking 14 times.
Right.
That's going to be more long lasting than me getting a dumb DQ. Yeah. So great philosophy there by Daniel Bryan. Very sharp. And a good win for Sheamus in the end. But both guys looked really strong. Nobody looked weak. And I have no problem with the 18-second match at WrestleMania if it led to a build going to this.
Okay.
So I had no problem with it. But having said that...
And you know what? In the end, that WrestleMania match made Daniel Bryan even more over.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, right about whether they meant it or not. And we'll talk more about him when we get to Raw.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. But yeah, it was a really very, very well done match. Both guys busted their asses. And that's the thing with guys like, and we'll talk more about this when we get to Raw, guys like Daniel Bryan and obviously we get to the next title match, guys like them make everybody else better. Mm-hmm. They're just good at making everybody better. And Sheamus is not a bad wrestler by any stretch of the imagination. But sometimes you just got to face a guy that's a little quicker than you, that's a little faster than you, maybe technically is a little more sound than you. All it's going to do is make you look better if you care more, if you care enough. And I think Sheamus does. We all know who his mentor is. So, you know, he obviously cares enough to want to make to look better in his matches. Mm-hmm. And facing a guy like Daniel Bryan is a perfect example of that. So I applaud both of them, but particularly Sheamus, who you know, took the beating and kept pace with a faster, more technically sound guy, and we had a 4.5-star match. So, excellent, excellent match. But very surprising. Not surprising, but surprising it was as high. I was expecting maybe 3, 3.5 stars. Good, solid, but we definitely got more than that out of this match. Definitely.
Cool. Yeah, and this is one I think I'm just going to buy the DVD because as we go through the rest of the show, Yeah, there's a lot there to like. So, all right. So up next, we had a little squash match. So Ryback takes on Aaron Relic and Jay Hutton. I like this little thing where they have guys backstage watching these squash matches. This time it was Santino and Great Khali. And I also like the jobbers talking shit on the mic before getting killed every time.
But that the little guy was fine. That other guy was a complete dope, though. we're gonna talk about oh god, he was horrendous. But the little guy was funny. I like to see him as a regular character. He kind of reminds me of like Colin Delaney or something. I don't know. It's just funny. But yeah, it was funny. But that's actually the first time I've really had a chance to see Ryback, the artist formerly known as Skip Sheffield, and he's been. Mm-hmm. Amazing. And you know, somebody I read on a couple of things. I read actually on a blog of Doom and a couple other places, people, you know, bitching about the crowd chanting Goldberg. But you know what? If there's any guy that I want to be compared to, I'll take him.
Yeah. Especially for a guy like Ryback. Yeah. I mean, that's high end for him. So he, you know, I also saw a few people complaining, like, oh, I think it's just like, I think some, I swear to God, there must be like auto posts on some people's message board and blog replies, like, oh, squash match and pay-per-view? Let me bitch. Oh, do we really need a squash match and pay-per-view? Whatever. It was like a minute. It got him over. Did it really affect? I thought it was a good enough, you know, showing. It's not like it really ate up a lot of time. Who cares? Is it really that big of a deal that there's a squash match on pay-per-view? I mean, come on.
No, not at all. It's not like any of the other matches got taken away from it. If you think about it, I mean,
that's whatever. I swear there's this like auto replies that people feel like they need to complain about. But if you have a legitimate beef about it, fine. But I feel like to be able to say it sometimes. So maybe I'm generalizing. All right. Up next was the Chicago Street Fight for the WWE title. Chris Jericho challenging CM Punk. I love that they came dressed as they were, wearing the t-shirts and jeans. That was a nice little touch. Another tremendous match. I caught bits and pieces that I definitely caught the final sequence, which was tremendous. Another 4+ star match in many reviews I've seen along the way, as long as my own. Tell me what you thought.
Oh, I'm at the moment, to me, this is match of the year. It was absolutely perfect.
You mean at the moment in the show or today?
At the moment in this year.
No, but I'm saying, you felt that way as soon as the match ended, or you feel that way right now?
I felt that way when the match ended.
Okay, so that changed as the show went on.
Yeah, okay. this was match of the year.
Okay,
I mean it was I mean in different ways. I mean the next match we talk about it was in for different reasons.
Okay, that's my match of the year, the one that we're going to talk about.
I think it's graded in two different ways, but we'll get to that other match in a minute. This match again, two absolute technical marvels. And you've been saying it, and I actually talked to it with our man Johnny Reckless in between breaks. He goes on as a smoke, and we kind of have our little recap mid show. And I threw at him your theory that CM Punk is the modern day Bret Hart, and he told me by the end of his career he'll be better than Bret Hart.
Wow, that's a lofty standards.
This guy is absolutely CM Punk. Just gets it. Will he be better than Shawn?
I don't know.
Time will tell. That goes with longevity.
Well, we had the interesting conversation back and forth a little bit too. Maybe we'll talk about that here. The lineage of all-time greats, you know, the torch pass, if you kind of start it with Savage, and then what we said, Savage, was it to Brett?
What was it? Savage to Brett?
Hang on, let me pull it up.
Yeah, let's pull it up because I don't want to. I like the lineage. I just don't have.
So to me, this was lineage of best all-around guy. In North America or even in WWF at the time, kind of the lineage of how that went. So let me just try and find it.
Okay.
So when Savage to Brett to Shawn to Austin to Angle to Eddie to Punk. To me, that is the lineage of the best all around wrestlers in the WWF. Yeah, you know, if you want to argue, you know, the country at the time, but to me, that is the lineage of total package in ring, you know, technical brawling, speed, you know, agility, storytelling, just everything. Those guys had it. You know, we're talking Savage from, you know, 86 through 92, I guess I would say. Then Brett picking it up in 92 right through 97. Michaels from 96 till 98. Austin 98 through 01. And you can even throw Michaels back in there again from 02, you know, until he retired. You know, Angle for his top run, which is pretty much what, oh, when he really put it all together was, I guess, 2000, he pretty much had it all together. But
yeah, pretty much when he,
until he broke down in, you know, 04. And then to me, Eddie in 03 to 05, and then Punk from about 2 years ago till now. So
yeah, that's I think that's a great genealogy there. Obviously, there's others will have opinions. I mean, one guy who didn't have, I guess he didn't have the complete package. You're talking about in ring promos,
everything,
general character.
I mean,
psychology.
Brett to me, you know, it was a little bit shaky with you know, the promo and all that stuff, but he got so good at it later on that I still consider him best all around. So,
Right now there is just nobody else in the Colt company that gets it like he does. No one has busted his ass since he's been here. Than he has. I mean, right now, actually, in the event center right now, is the I have the second disc of the ladder match, the sequel DVD, and right now and this is a match you and I just watched recently, and that's the Money in the Bank from WrestleMania 23, and he was already gangbusters. He was already at RVD Jeff Hardy-ish levels of pop, and even here. Still had that raw Ring of Honor-ish kind of way of going, but he is
right.
Here's a guy. Here's, you know what the best thing about Punk is? I don't want to go into a long diatribe. We could do this. We could talk about Punk for a 3-hour podcast. The thing I love the most about Punk is that he was able to hybrid into the WWE style of wrestling without losing any of his Ring of Honor indie-ish heritage. You get what I'm saying? He didn't sell out and become a WWE dumbed down hack.
Right.
He was able to take the Ring of Honor and all the other, you know, the indie best in the world philosophy, and in the end he has morphed into a WWE superstar and a great WWE style wrestler without selling out. I know we all use that stupid term, so you know. But my point about selling out is he didn't dummy down his
right,
his work rate or his packaging. A lot of people think Stone Cold did because, you know, but the guy almost broke his fucking neck.
I mean, he didn't dumb it down until he had to.
Yeah,
you know, an interesting piece as well was when we interviewed Gary Michael Capetta. He kind of said, "Well, Punk's a, you know, more of a politician than you might think. You know, he knows how to play the game." So that's obviously played a big role as well. You know, he positions himself as this anti-hero, this guy who goes against the you know, against the norm and against the office. But clearly, he knows what he's doing in that regard. So Punk retains, a tremendous match, better than Mania, right?
Yes.
Okay. And I like the Mania match. Okay.
Not by much.
Yeah, Mania match is very good too. So a great two match series with these two. Great chemistry, and now it looks like they're both going to head separate ways as well. So that brings us to our Divas title match. Beth Phoenix backstage arguing with the Bella Twins. Eve comes up and says Beth has not been cleared to wrestle, so we're going to have a mystery opponent against Nikki Bella, and says, "Don't worry, it's not Karma." So, you know, this was to me a swerve to be a swerve, and I think that's pretty much been confirmed by Dave Meltzer. Layla ends up coming out as a surprise challenger and winning the title. Now, I'm a big Layla fan. I was happy to see her back, but...
Yep.
This just totally killed the crowd, just for the sake of having a shock and doing something different than what people want. And, you know, the rumor all along was that they were going to use Karma to kill the Bellas on their last night. They didn't do it here. They don't do it the next night. So kind of deflating here. And it sets up Layla to fail, too, because, you know, similar to like we said about Sheamus at WrestleMania, if just to dick the fans around to do something different, you're setting the winner or the champion up for failure, because now the crowd's not going to really be behind Layla because they want to see Karma. So,
right.
I don't know why they didn't just deliver Karma when everyone wanted to see it. So,
yeah, I agree. Unless she's not ready or they're not, you know, she's not there. I don't know, but yeah, the crowd kind of went, all right, whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
pointless.
It's not like the Bellas had any real heat anyway.
No,
you must have just had Karma come in and friggin' destroy them and.
Exactly.
So they wrestled. You know, when we get to the next night, that didn't really matter. Screw it. So they just don't come on.
Yeah,
you know, stupid. Whatever.
So that brings us to our main event: the Extreme Rules match, John Cena versus Brock Lesnar. I loved this match. It was completely different than anything we have seen in a long, long time. It was just a straight up fight. Cena, the shots he was taking were disgusting. Those elbows to the face, busting him open hard way. We got some blood. You know, I love that the ref was coming in trying to clean it up. And just the way they played this up was so good. And Lesnar just destroyed him for the whole match. Just really beat the shit out of him. So stiff and just such a unique style, such a unique match. It was such a refreshing breath of air to see something so different. even the caveat of Lesnar was killing himself on that dive out to the floor. I still don't know what the hell he was trying to do there. So everything was going swimmingly. Cena got his little bit of a comeback. He was building some great sympathy. You were feeling bad for him as Lesnar beat the shit out of him. Just when the crowd was starting to get behind Cena and really could have done some good character work. Superman reemerges. He catches Lesnar in midair with a big right hand with a chain. Lesnar's busted open. He hits him with the AA on top of the stairs, covers him, and gets the pin. So all the goodwill built throughout this whole show just kind of squashed in this odd, stupid booking decision on the surface. When you dig a little bit deeper, you can maybe understand their thinking. And actually, I'm going to read this right now because they do have a report from WrestleChat that just came up. As noted before, Brock Lesnar was told he'd be losing to John Cena at Extreme Rules several weeks back. Lesnar said it's made it clear that it's about the money and not the ego. If they want him to lose, he's got no problem as long as they play fairly with him. According to sources, it was made clear to Cena and Lesnar that the feud would be a one-match program. Officials feel that Lesnar could leave at any time on them, and they needed their top guy getting the win the first time out to make sure that it happened. WWE has already used five of Lesnar's limited dates, so expect him to be used sparingly over the next few months. And then I will get into where he's headed after later. But so I can kind of see the thinking that, you know, you can't have Cena lose. And then, you know, what if Brock leaves and now you've made Cena look weak? But to me, Cena's a guy that could take this kind of loss. Him, a guy like Randy Orton, you know, a guy like Triple H, a guy like Chris Jericho. Those are guys that could lose. The guys that you can't have lose to Brock and the guys you should put over him are Sheamus, Daniel Bryan. You know, CM Punk, those are the guys that need the wins, not Cena. I mean, I think he could have lost here and still survived. So I just feel like at this point, they probably should have had Brock just finish him off, and they could have really built up a monster that would have led to some great storylines. I think they recovered a little bit the next night, which we'll get to in a minute. But to me, the match was phenomenal, and it's easily my match of the year so far.
This match is obviously very different than our last match. I just love the pure raw violence of it. You know, just to see these two guys just pummel the freaking crap out of each other. There was not one held back punch in this whole match. Brock does not fuck around. Let's just call a spade here. He doesn't fuck around anymore.
No.
He's going to hit you and you're going to feel it. Yep. We're talking Vader, Stan Hansen-esque levels of I'm going to knock you on your ass and you're going to feel it.
Yeah, and I mean, credit to Cena, too, to take those shots. And he doesn't have to do that stuff, to take those vicious elbows to the head, you know, get busted open like that. I mean, he was just really cracking them pretty good in the open there.
Yeah, no, it was unbelievable. I find
the crowd
it different,
was great, too.
Oh, well, thank God. Thank God we were in Chicago. Other than the Garden, if we were in, like, San Diego or Phoenix or something, we'd have been in deep shit in that aspect. Kudos to the Phoenix crowd. Of course, our man Schutz, Michael Vincent, was there.
Chicago.
Unbelievable crowd. They carried this show in a lot of ways. And very different match than Punk and Jericho, but equally as awesome. I was stunned that Cena won as well. And we can officially say it. You and I say it more than once. If CM Punk is the Bret Hart of this generation, then obviously John Cena is the Hulk Hogan of this generation.
Yes,
you just can't not pick the guy.
You know, and this would have been
every match for the rest of his life. I mean, it's just,
and this would have been a perfect chance to have him lose, have him get hurt, and just go away for a couple months. And it seemed like he was going to do that anyway, because after the show or after the match, while still in the air, he gets the mic and he talks about how you know, he thanks the crowd and says he's giving it all he has for the fans. He might have to go away for a while, so be it. And he thanks the fans for one last ride. It sounds like a retirement speech.
It was.
You know, he ends up showing up the next night on Raw, and he's set for a match at the next pay-per-view. So I don't know what the deal was. There were rumors that he was going to be in the Marine, then those were shot down, and then proven wrong. And, you know, I don't know if he was supposed to be doing it in storyline kayfabe, saying that Laurinaitis was going to fire him because of, you know, what happened in this match. I don't know. I really don't know what the thinking was here. It was very odd. And I don't know. I don't get why they didn't have him lose and just take a couple months off. I think it could have been way more effective than the way they went. So,
Yeah, I mean, it just was very odd, very weird. It really made no sense. I don't know. It almost, like, why are we now we're suddenly forcing Cena to do shoot promos? I mean, I don't get it. It didn't fit anything.
Well, they are trying to do more of that work shoot kind of stuff and blurring the lines. We saw it with the Beth Phoenix injury. We saw it with the Cena injury here in our Raw. Of course, he had his arm in the sling and everything. So You know, it seems like they're trying to work the crowd. I know we have news stories on it later, so we don't have to delve too much into it now. But
no, but in terms of top to bottom, the match, unbelievable. I agree with you.
100%. Hulk Hogan, we're coming for you, nigga.
So
he wishes he could wrestle Brock.
overall grade on the show.
A. Slightly not quite an A+, because we did have, you know, a couple of duds. I mean, the Ryback squash. I mean, I'm not saying it didn't belong on the show, but you know, you can't really give it. You know, it was just there.
I'm gonna say, based on today's shows and product and how often you actually get your money's worth, I'm gonna give it an A+. I think there's only been 2 A+ shows in the last 2 years, and they both took place in Chicago. And that was Money in the Bank last year, and this. And I think TLC is more of that A-. But I thought the show, I only saw, I mean, it's hard for me to say because I only saw like a match and a half, really. But I mean, three top matches. When your three top matches deliver like they did, all over 4 stars and two, you know, actually all three could be argued 4.5 and above. So to me, when you get three matches like that on a show, no matter what the rest of the card is, it's a top notch effort.
It's amazing how you and I were, and this is a fact that still is not disputed. The roster is still a little herky jerky and kind of imbalanced. Meanwhile, we're getting 3 4-star matches. That's crazy.
Well, when you put the right combination together and give them the time, and you actually have a good story, it's like, say what you want about the Daniel Bryan stuff, but I mean, he's been built up well, and the feud with Sheamus has been fine since Mania. And same thing with Jericho and Punk. You have some pretty good heat on that feud, and two guys that know how to work psychology. And Brock Cena had a lot of intrigue as well. So, you know, I wanted to watch the show. You know, just my current status of my life prevented me from being able to go to Picasso's to watch it. But, you know, I remember I was talking to Andrew, we were playing basketball last week. This, both of us saying, oh, man, you know, of all the ones we could have went to Picasso's for, this is one we really wanted to see. So, and he even actually was watching the, you know, the same feed I was, because he was getting pretty into it. So, you know, unique. And that brings us into Raw. Show opens.
Well, you know what? You were in a filled poopy on a pole match, yes. And you lost.
Yes. Yeah, Sunday was, I mean, that the problem is that the pay-per-view starts, and that's pretty much, you know, feed and bedtime. So it was tough for me to catch a lot of it. So by the time everything settled down, was just in time for the big match. So all right, so that brings us to Raw. Where's Dayton, Ohio? Brings us to
In Detroit.
No, oh, no, center. Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't Dayton. Okay. Yep. Oh, that's right. SmackDown was somewhere else. Okay. Yeah, it was in Dayton.
Okay. So Laurinaitis comes out, and Lesnar comes out, and he, to me, Lesnar looks like he was going to cry this whole time. I'm not sure what was going on. I don't know if he's trying to do weird faces, but and then Scott, I will let you walk us through what happened here.
Well, Laurinaitis comes out. Oh, by the way, do you mark out at the fact that every time they show his locker or his office in the back, he's still wearing the WrestleMania Jesus Evangelist suit hanging?
Yes, it's tremendous, of course.
Yes. Okay, so Laurinaitis comes out, says, you know, it was a big night for people power at Extreme Rules. John Cena was put in his place and everything, and here's the guy who's the future of the company. And the face of the WWE, and out comes Brock, who you said looked a little worse for wear.
Forlorn.
Did he? Yeah, but he didn't. And he didn't have a. You know, he got busted open pretty hard by that chain. He didn't even have anything on his forehead. He didn't have any bandages or anything.
And now I expected their story to be, before we knew where this was headed, I figured he'd come out and say, "Hey, Cena had a cheat to beat me. He can't beat me clean. He can't beat me fair. He had to use a chain." But they did not go that way.
No, they didn't go that route. So just as he's about to talk. For the first time since he was helped out of Sun Life Stadium in Miami by
Time to Play the Game!
That's exactly right. Out came the COO, the H, Triple H, gets in the ring, and pretty much tells Brock, first of all, tells Funky to go, you know, pound sand. He stands behind him and pretty much tells Brock that all this crap that you pulled last Monday night is a bunch of crap. You're not getting a private jet. You're not getting your own limo. You know, you're not going to be held harmless of fines and suspensions. You're not going to get paid more money when you do things. You signed a contract with this company to come here, and we're going to honor it. None more of this. You're not going to bully this moron to do things for you because he's dumb enough to say yes, which he didn't have permission to do. And Funky keeps trying to cut him off, and Triple H keeps telling him to pound sand, and he pretty much gives Brock the ultimatum. You know, by the way, you lost last night, you know, And I'm sure you want that match back, don't you? Plus all these great superstars. And I like the point that Triple H made where he said, you know, there may not be everybody here likes you and people probably hate you, but they're all here to see you.
Right.
And that's the truth. And, you know, we got a bunch of, you know, people want to see you face Randy Orton, CM Punk and Sheamus and all these, you know, great guys in this company. And people want to see these matches. So the choice is yours. And Brock kept looking at him going, you know, looking at Funky going, you know, we had a deal. And Triple H like, stop looking at him. He's nothing here. You look at me. I'm the one calling the shots here, not him. What you said to him last week means nothing. You signed a contract to come here. Are you going to honor it or not? And Funky goes, you know, you're being disrespectful. I'm going to go to the board. You know, he did like a little sassy bitch like he always does. I'm going to go to the board of directors. Triple H turns around and says what he's going to tell him. And then Brock just jumps him.
Yes.
And
I was hoping for this. I was waiting for it. They really needed to do this to reestablish Brock's dominance.
I mean, I was, of course, you know, trying to get in the chat room to you know, do my usual Markness. But, yeah, I mean, it was awesome. And then, you know, they punch back and you know, first time on U.S. soil. I haven't seen it. It was never on any house shows.
Right.
First time on U.S. soil ever that these two have had an altercation.
Yeah.
Ever.
I mean, you know, there's not many Triple H feuds or matches left that could be considered like a dream match that he hasn't had yet. But this is definitely one. This is a pretty big match, I think.
I think it's a gigantic match. Yeah. So anyway, to finish it off, Brock gets the upper hand and puts him in the, what's the official term? Kiwara?
Kimura.
Kimura. The Kimura armbar. And it looks,
Joe Rogan
I'll tell you something,
is,
man. Looks,
it, as
what's
you
that?
Butcher your thing. I said Joe Rogan is weeping as you butcher these things.
Yeah, no, Riggin, Kiwara, whatever.
Hey, I may have a winner!
You know, I was just thinking, on a side note, why don't they just get you and I to host that Are You Serious show?
No,
where,
I know,
you and I are 10 times funny. I mean, I love Road Dogg, but Josh Matthews is a toolbox.
I swear, actually, he's been pretty funny. He cracked me up with a few one-liners on the most recent couple. Yeah, there was one really funny. Like, he even cracks Road Dogg up sometimes. I forget. There was one that really made me laugh. I can't remember what it is now.
But it's pretty much the entire segment is ripping Sting. It's like almost every clip makes fun of Sting. But then again, the skits back then were pretty awful. Anyway, so he does, you know, in storyline form, break Triple H's arm. Triple H gets carted off. Brock just walks out. And then they go backstage. And you know what was the most hilarious part of the backstage when Triple H was on the gurney with the trainers and stuff? Who's standing behind the trainers? The only guy in the company. Oh, by the way, the whole roster comes out.
Watch his knee.
But the whole roster comes out and you know, chases Brock off. But who's the only superstar standing behind the trainer making sure Triple H is okay? Sheamus. The only one on camera. By the way, you know who was not on camera was Wilkie and I. We were off on the side. We didn't want to.
Weeping.
Yeah, we were inconsolable, Wilkie and I. Which brings us to other storyline stuff, which we'll get into later during the news and notes involving Brock and what the whole story is. I'll tell you something. Give me that SummerSlam match right now. And that's different. We're not talking work rate punk kind of thing. I just want to see. It's a match I want to see.
Yeah, it's just, the one, you know, and, you know, Triple H needs to put him over in that match. I don't know if it's going to happen. We'll see. We'll debate that over the coming months. Come on.
I would. No, I would.
You have
no,
to.
I'm thinking of it objectively. Subjectively, of course I want him to win. I'm going to win all, but he should. I'm just not sure if he will. But he should. I'm not disagreeing with you. He should. I'm just thinking
objectively. I can understand Cena. I get it. I get why you want to put him over in that position. You know, he's still your top guy, but Triple H does not need that win. He's not an on-camera talent. No. You know, you're going to make Brock strong, and you haven't beat Triple H. I'm fine with it being a competitive match and even match in ways. He doesn't have to destroy him. But he,
No, he should. Brock should win the match. I think the two should absolutely destroy each other. I don't think it should be a one-sided bludgeon the Cena match.
No, but he's going to win. And he's going to win fairly clean. It can't be like a fluky thing where he kind of rolls over on him or something.
No. He should drop the F5. Maybe he'll drop it like – it'll be one of those things where he'll have to drop the F5 like three times or something. Yeah. But he'll –
All right, well, we got plenty of time to talk about that.
Yeah, we got plenty of time to talk about it. And so anyway, so Triple H is card in the back. He keeps telling him, my arm's broken. So he's off camera for a while.
Yeah, we, you know, you assume here this is their way to get him off. off TV for a bit, and they will obviously do the suspension thing, and he'll be gone probably. I think he's probably going to be gone until like July now, until the build to SummerSlam.
Yeah, there's no need for him right now. There's no need for him right now.
What I'm thinking is I think he leaves Triple H off for a while, and he comes back and he demands he be reinstated by the board or whatever nonsense they're going to do because he wants him in a match. So.
And one thing to legitimize the storyline, and I loved, you know, lately I've not been a big fan of, we've talked about it, of King and Cole, but. Mm. One thing Cole kept staying, and you know, I pay attention to these things because we need to make sure there's, you know, legitimate continuity in these storylines. Cole kept saying Triple H was here as an executive. It's almost like Triple H comes out in his suit, he's the COO. When he comes out in the game t-shirt jeans, he's the game. But when he's in a suit, he's the executive. It's almost like it's like Clark Kent and Superman kind of thing, two different outfits. And tonight he was out as an executive.
And speaking of Cole, there's actually a new story that just came across on him. Saying his heel announcer gimmick is supposed to officially have ended at WrestleMania 28. His new role is to be an edgy character, still respects John Laurinaitis, one of the top heels. But a recent sign of Cole retreating from being an annoying heel, shifting to a more neutral role, was that he's sympathetic towards John Cena and his feud with Brock Lesnar. So, you know, I loved the initial heel Cole character. It did wear thin, and I think it's good to bring him back to being a little bit more credible and not as whiny and annoying. And I mean, I like that they have him in the middle. He doesn't have to be a straight face. He doesn't have to be a straight heel. He can just kind of go with the flow. And I think that's a better usage of him right now.
Yeah, but I love them as a whole. And I'll tell you something. He wrestles better than a lot of guys on the roster, but I'm done with King as an announcer. He's not bringing anything to the table. He's saying things that any Tom, Dick, and Harry can say in that chair. He's not special anymore. I love the King, but he's not bringing.
No, you got guys, other guys you could use. I mean, obviously the pipe dream is JBL, but he's never coming back. Yeah, you got Foley there that could do the job. you know, I even like Stryker. I like Stryker, even though I get a little whacked towards the end. So, all right, let's move through the rest of Raw here.
Sure.
Eve comes out and announces there'll be a Beat the Clock challenge, which I got very excited about. Love Beat the Clock. And the winner is going to face CM Punk at Over the Limit. So, this is a far superior way than a stupid battle royal or anything like that to name the number one contender.
Exactly.
So, first was Miz versus Santino Marella. And you knew right from the start here this was going to be Miz getting his win back from the night before. Mm-hmm. And he did indeed, 4 minutes, 18 seconds. So, that was the standard to beat as the night went on.
Yep.
Next up was the Bellas final match. And there was a triple threat with Nikki and Brie taking on Layla. Mm-hmm. Layla quickly defeated them as they argued and won. And that was it for the Bellas. They're done. Contract's up and they're gone. Again, I thought maybe here Kamro would come out, destroy them, and set the tone to face Layla, but again, they did not do that. So, kind of weird. They didn't really use the Bellas. And they used them to put over Eve, but nothing. I don't know. There's so much more they could have done.
Right. I think the problem right now they have is I don't know what they want. I don't know if they're sure yet what they want to do with Karma.
No, the problem is they want to fuck around, and they think. And it's been reported. They think too many people knew. And when too many people know something that they're going to do, they screw it around and change it at the last minute so they can fuck around. They did it at the Royal Rumble. That was, you know, reported supposed to be Chris Jericho. And too many people were onto it, so they had Sheamus win. And it's just like, if people are into it and not complaining, just fucking deliver it.
Yeah, just do it. Who cares? You know? So right now, I don't think they would know what to do with Karma, whether to make her a face or a heel. Do they want her to beat Layla, be a heel, and turn Beth Phoenix face? The Silverback today said that he doesn't care. He just wants her to be a killing machine. I kind of like that philosophy. I don't agree with him much. Actually, I never do. But I kind of like that idea. I don't care who she goes for. I just want her to kill
right,
her all.
Right, exactly.
So, and bye-bye Bellas. I hated them anyway, so good riddance. Two less useless people on the show. I have no problem with them. Goodbye.
All right, next up was Chris Jericho and Big Show, another Beat the Clock challenge. I thought these two had pretty good chemistry in the ring. This actually was a decent match for them. It looked like a little bit of a screwed-up finish. They fight on the floor, and the referee kind of botched the count, and Jericho slipped back in and beat the 10 count, but it looks like they finished just after the 4:18. It was reported that Jericho was supposed to win the match, he was supposed to beat the time and become the new top time at this point, but they fucked it up. So Miz still holds the time at 4:18, but as we see, it didn't really matter in the end. So.
Another
it just looks stupid. Another Brodus Clay squash defeated JTG and has some kids come in the ring and dance with him.
That was cool.
Yeah.
That was like the old JYD philosophy of getting kids involved. It's kind of neat. I like that.
Yeah. Backstage, Ace and Teddy and Eve are all talking, and Ace says Cena's next opponent is going to be a big one, and Cena won't like it. So teasing. And right away, the rumors started flying on Twitter. Some people were saying, oh, is it going to be... is it going to be a Batista or is it going to be Tensai? You know, there are a lot of different people.
Batista. Batista.
I saw that rumor. I saw that thrown about a few places. So, including
our buddy that actually would have been awesome.
Yes, of course it would have.
That would have been awesome.
All right, so another Beat the Clock Challenge match. We have Randy Orton and Jack Swagger. Orton defeats Swagger with the RKO at 4:16, so he becomes the new time leader. Mm-hmm. Leader of the clubhouse. Up next is a tag title match. R-Truth and Kofi Kingston defending against the Colognes. Well, I guess kind of. Epigall Primo with Rosa. And we have new tag team champions. Truth takes out Epigall. Kofi hits his Trouble in Paradise kick. Mm-hmm. And Kofi and R-Truth are now the tag team champions. And backstage, we saw Abraham Washington talking to Rosa, Primo, and Epigall. So we'll kind of see what happens there.
I just have one quick thing about this. Mm-hmm. You see obviously one of yours and my favorite things forming, and that is the good old heel stable. You and I,
I hope so. I hope it's, and I hope they actually do it though. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just be half-assed.
But Abraham Washington needs to put it over and needs to not be a bumbling dope.
No, I think he'll be good. It's just if they actually make him legitimate and make the team legitimate. They can't just be bumbling fools as the team.
Well, the perfect guy, I think the guy that would, if they're going to do I apologize, I'm going to say this as delicately as I can. If they're going to do like they did with Teddy Long and have like an all black or Hispanic or like a minority kind of, fight the power kind of faction, the guy to legitimize it like it was the first time is Mark Henry. Put him in there too, and yeah. I think you're okay.
I don't know if they're going to go that route. I think it's just coincidence that it's them. I think they're just going to make him like an agent more than anything, honestly. I don't think they want to bring that kind of storyline in today.
Probably not, but I mean then he should get anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe get the Miz, because he needs, apparently he's, get Dolph, have him fire Vicky, because the Vicky thing has run its course. As much as she's been looking good, physically she looks great. The whole excuse me, I think that's,
yeah, but I'm fine thing. With that heel stable too. They just don't use them seriously. Swagger, Dolph, and if you throw someone else in there with Vicky, I think that's a fine stable. They're just not using it right.
They need more people.
I'd rather see Miz in there. I think he fits more with those guys.
No, that makes sense. Well, anyway, we'll see. But I like Abraham Washington. I just hope that he's able to put over this faction legitimately. Yeah, I agree.
Just jump. I stay fit. I watch what I eat because I never know when my next match is going to be.
I don't know. Have Abraham Washington is your agent, and who knows?
Isaiah Washington.
That's what I almost said, Isaiah Washington.
All right, our next Beat the Clock Challenge match was Great Khali versus Kane. Ugh. And yes, and the clock runs out. They do not. The highlight was Khali's dancing as he was standing in the ring.
Oh my god, that was so uncomfortable to watch.
That was great. Oh, it was so funny. It's tremendous. All right, and our final Beat the Clock Challenge was Daniel Bryan and Jerry Lawler, and kind of a nice little treat for Lawler, and it was good to see him in the ring instead of at the desk. And Bryan would win the match, beat the clock, and earn that title shot with CM Punk at Over the Limit, instantly making that another must-see pay-per-view. So very exciting, and I believe your boy called this over a couple weeks in a row. I said that I thought Punk would head to, Bryan would head to Raw to feud with Punk
and
after losing
what?
To Sheamus.
I'm calling it now. I don't know if I'm going to second-guess myself when we get to the actual picks. I think Bryan wins.
No, I don't think so.
No?
I honestly think they're going for, if Punk didn't lose either of these Jericho matches, I really think they're going for like a super long reign with him. I think they really want him to have like a long, long reign on top.
I would love it. I'm not saying, I have a weird feeling that something schmoozy is going to happen here. But then again, my mind might, things may change by then.
I think Bryan's just an off month challenger to keep Punk busy, to be honest, and deliver a great match. Which is fine. I mean, I'm cool with it.
Oh, they will.
So where do you think they're going with the AJ stuff? Because we forgot to mention at the pay-per-view, she was kind of lurking in the background.
That was
weird.
She
didn't really play a role in anything, but she was.
No, we even said that the crew we were watching, the gang we hang with, and we all said it. We're like, all right, well, AJ's there, and we thought that she was, and we're glad it didn't happen that way because it would have made Sheamus look like even
right,
more.
Right, definitely.
But we thought that she was going to come in, attempt to either A, want him back and try to help him and screw it up, or actually help Sheamus win, and either case would have been bad. So I'm glad it did. I'm glad they didn't do that. So
I had my last match, I think it was 1991. So it gets to be a lot longer between matches.
You know what I love about this? He says it nonchalantly. like
it's normal.
Like everybody else waits six years. Like,
it's very normal to be waiting 6 years by the phone for
8 years, whenever that interview.
Gets a little bit longer between matches. I think in the end, I still think AJ and Bryan are going to end up back together. I think that's where they're headed. So, all right. So final segment We have Johnny Ace and John Cena in the ring. And obviously, it's all leading towards making you think it's going to be Lord Tensai. Mm-hmm. Laurinaitis introduces Cena's opponent. He never says who it is. Tensai and Sakamoto come out. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of all staring down Cena. Then they attack him. They beat down his injured arm. Cena starts to go after them. And from behind, Laurinaitis clocks Cena with the mic.
Yep.
And they're stomping on him, and Laurinaitis announces that he will be Cena's opponent at Over the Edge, not Lord Tensai.
Over the Limit.
Over the Limit, yes. And Laurinaitis grabs a steel chair, smashes Cena's arm with it, and does the You Can't See Me. So pretty good heat to end the show, I thought. And I'm really interested in the show. It's not one I'm ready to plunk down, but I'm trying to convince my brother to pay for it so I can go watch it.
I thought the ending was awesome. They really worked over Cena's arm, though. That was a legit beatdown.
Yeah, it was good. I love that when they pulled it around the post and smashed it with the chair. It was a good little heel moment.
And, I think we're all going to be pleasantly surprised by Funky's performance in the ring. Or do you think this is going to be some goofy, stupid thing and he's not actually going to wrestle? Do you think it'll be a swerve? What do you think right now?
No, on pay-per-view.
Obviously, I think our picks in a couple weeks, but do you think this match is actually going to happen?
Yeah, because it's on pay-per-view. If it was on TV, if they were like building this up for 2 weeks from now on TV, I think it would be like a screw job. But I think on pay-per-view, they're going to deliver the match.
Okay. I think you're going to see – I think you'd be pleasantly surprised at Funky's performance. I think
I'm sure. I think he'll deliver. Hey, look, you don't have to convince me on Funky. He's one of my favorite characters on TV right now, so –
What I would love is for, and I said this to Johnny, and I were talking about it when the show ended, that I would love to see him bring back, come out with the New Zealand flag and the barbed wire and have the freaking Bushwhackers walk behind him, or bring back Shane Douglas with a skate. I think he should bring back something old school. I think it would actually make it really, really funny. I don't know if he should be a dynamic dude. I think that's been made fun of too much, but it'd be great if he came out with if he said, "I need your guys' help tonight. You know, you and I were really tight back in the day, and it's freaking Butch and Luke." I think that would be hilarious. I don't know. I think it'd be pretty funny.
I'd be on board with that, but I think this feud is a little more
intense,
a little more serious. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, then having the Bushwhackers come out.
Well, I don't know.
Never thought I'd hear you.
I know. Yeah.
Stump for the Bushwhackers to be involved in a storyline.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd like to see them. I mean, and you know what? They're too old and too. They're too used to being Bushwhackers to go back to being the Nasty Sheep Herders, so it's not.
Well, I don't know. Bushwhacker Luke is heavily involved in the NWF. A lot of busy storylines going on there.
Oh, is he involved in some big debates and signing stuff for $50?
Well, you got NWF South and NWF North. I mean, there's so many storylines going on for a promotion that runs two shows a year. They get quite a lot of storylines going on.
I think you had more power hours. I think yeah. So yeah, I guess you're right. I don't know. I guess this is a bigger. You know, this isn't like him being challenged. He's doing the challenging. I guess if it was the other way around, I guess it would be that way. But. Yeah, Over the Limit's already being put together as a fairly legit secondary show so far. Question is what the SmackDown half of things will bring, and we'll talk more about that when we do the taping. But and I'm a little confused by that when we get to the taping now, what the scoop is on SmackDown. I thought it was gonna be more cut and dry after what happened on Raw, but it's not. But why don't we get into that now? Overall, though, did you like Raw?
Yeah, I thought it was fine. I thought the opening segment was great, and I thought the moment we realized Brian was winning, and I always enjoyed Beat the Clock, and I thought the final segment was okay. So yeah, it was a solid Raw. I can't say it was gangbusters, but it was fine.
All right, give me the rating. What'd you think? You didn't look at it yet, did you?
Okay, dog. Yeah. I glanced at it quick, but I don't really remember. It was like a 3-4 in one of the hours, right, or something like that.
3-4-1 in the first hour, 3-2-7 in the second hour. So it ended up a total of 3-3.
Okay, pretty good.
So again, the viewership went down in the second hour. Well,
I think everyone realized Brock was going to be gone. So it'll be curious how they hold off now. If the ratings start to dip, are they really going to commit to leaving Brock off for 2 months? And I wouldn't be shocked if they panic and start running through dates and then trying to give him more money to add more dates on. So.
We'll see. I hope not, because I feel like those guys now that are already really, the product is not in a bad shape where you need him every single week. I hope not. So.
Well, we'll see if the ratings bear that out. So, okay, let's quickly get to the SmackDown tapings from Toledo, Ohio.
Are you getting a chat? Did you open up the
I could not, but I was able to pull it up on
WrestleChat?
No, okay. On our board. I had posted it this morning. So.
Okay. Because, right. What's going on? So.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I'm reading them. So, dark
match. Good.
Dark match. Our boy Dean Ambrose defeated Ezekiel Jackson. SmackDown taping itself. Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan was set to open the show, but Ricardo Rodriguez and Alberto Del Rio interfere, giving Sheamus the win by DQ. Bryan and Del Rio have words and both leave. Sheamus's arm was being looked at backstage in between segments. R-Truth and Kofi defended their titles against Hunico and Camacho. And during the match, we see Epico and Primo on top of the ramp watching. Brodus Clay versus Jack Swagger. Dolph was at ringside and was sent flying after a headbutt. I want to check it out because I wonder if it's as good as that one from Raw a couple weeks ago. Ends up being a DQ when Dolph gets involved and helps Swagger beat down Clay. Randy Orton and Big Show versus Kane and Cody is announced for later in the show. Daniel Bryan and Alberto Del Rio backstage arguing. Eve tells everyone that after she checks with doctors, they may let Sheamus compete anyway in the main event. So, Derek Bateman returns to TV, takes on Damian Sandow. Sandow calls. Hang on, lost my spot here. Sandow calls Toledo ignorant and Bateman a miscreant. And I read on one of these other pair of spoilers that apparently they were giving him the what chant. And it says, thank you for your irrelevant comment or something along those lines, which is pretty cool. So he says he will not face an ignoramus. So Ryback comes out instead after Sandow walks off, squashes Bateman as well. So I like the building that they're giving some of these newer guys. It's refreshing to see. Ryback's been built up well. Brodus Clay, Lord Tensai is fine enough. And then it looks like Sandow is going to be pretty damn good, I think. So
yeah, I think so, too.
Orton and Big Show versus Kane and Cody. Usual anchor tag match, it seems like. And Orton hits the RKO on Kane. Big Show hits Rhodes with the WMD for the win. Mm-hmm. So getting his win back. And hopefully this is it for Orton and Kane. We'll see.
Yeah, I know.
As I mentioned to you, Amazon.com right now has WrestleMania 28 on DVD and Blu-ray for a 43% discount.
Yes.
$19.99 for the regular and $24.99 for Blu-ray. So pre-order that now if you want.
Yes.
They actually
when we go back from break, we have a couple of other DVD deals to let you know about. A couple of great ones.
Yes, so. Definitely. They had to reshoot the Swagger, Dolph, and Vicky and Brodus segment. They redid the match and be a count out instead. So I'm not sure what the issue was there. So Layla defeated Natalya, retaining her title. apparently, there's a segment at a t-shirt stand involving Teddy Long oiling up a random wrestler. So. the spoiler here says AJ was slapped backstage by a woman. I don't know who the woman was. Ricardo Rodriguez announces Del Rio's entrance, and he's going to be watching Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus. Del Rio get involved, but Sheamus won the match. So there you go.
All right. So pretty much, Daniel Bryan is written out of this to focus on Punk. And,
There
looks like they're leaning towards Sheamus and Del Rio now for probably Over the Limit. So, which I think could be a good match.
Yeah, I agree. And, hopefully elevate Del Rio back up a little bit. So,
yeah. Speaking of Derek Bateman, I don't know what episode. By the way, when you get time, just watch as much as you could on the YouTube channel. I think this has been the best business venture that WWE's done in a while. We used to think back in the day, they used to get all pissed off about, people putting stuff on YouTube and copyrights. Now they've got everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so utilize it as best you can. The shows are funny. And there was the episode, the show Are You Serious? In case you don't know what Justin and I are talking about, it's Road Dogg and Josh Matthews sitting in this dark room and they have to watch, it's like a 6-minute episode and they're watching.
Yeah, it's like Wrestle Crap TV, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, it's pretty much Matt Rotella's wet dream. sitting just watching 6 minutes of absolute garbage. 6 minutes of absolute garbage. Except for the few seconds that the Triple H puppet comes on, of which I'd like to actually have at my desk during work time. But, anyway, there was an episode this past week where they were making fun of, and I was a little mad because these weren't that bad. They're making fun of the Rick Martel arrogance vignettes, which I thought were really awesome. They said that Martel looked like Derek Bateman. I take umbrage to that. I think Rick Martel should not be compared to some scrub jobber. Those Rick Martel, remember when he was riding the horse and playing tennis?
Stuff.
And those are awesome. I vehemently disagree with those guys that was crap. Those were very damn good. So anyway, you mentioned Derek Bateman. I just wanted to say that. But so that'll be on Sci-Fi on Friday night.
Okay.
So, all right. Well, we went through the shows. We're about an hour in. When we take a break, when we come back, we will go through the news and notes around wrestling. We'll talk a little bit more about the Brock Lesnar situation, some injury news to let you know about, and then we'll let you know about these awesome DVD deals. And then we will bring back for the first time in – is it for the first time in 2012? Or did
yes.
we do like a couple – no, we didn't do one at all year, right?
We did have, Asshole of the Year at the end of the year. And that was
at the end of the year, yeah. So we have our first PTB Nation Asshole of the Week for 2012, and then we'll talk about some other sports stuff as well. But first, a breather while we listen to our good friends from WrestleChat.net, because
wait, just a minute. How'd you get in here, though? Here. Tatanka. Buffalo. Oh. Buffalo. Tatanka. Buffalo. Buff. 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 Buffalo. Tatanka. Say. The fierce one, as I call him, seems a very tough fellow. I hope I never have to fight him. From the little I know.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW ROH and ECW announcer Eric Arjulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. Wrestle Chat, it's where it's at.
That was the longest build to a video, to an audio clip ever. It sounded like freaking two manatees humping before these things finally start talking. Is that, we have to check Tatanka's board to see if he was no other WWE superstar was ever put over by Kevin Costner.
Definitely not. That was accredited to our buddy Andrew Flanagan sent me that clip.
Yes. That's very good. All right. WrestleChat.net is indeed your home for everything pro wrestling. WWE, Ring of Honor, TNA, who I think has their Slammiversary pay-per-view coming up this Sunday. Woohoo! They have a great message board. Of course, the Alberto Del Rio and Ricardo Rodriguez of podcast hosts do their great show. Look to the right of the screen, and you see the PTB Known, proudly worn by Jordan Duncan. Click on it, and you'll go right to the soon-to-be 125-volume archive that is the Place to Be podcast. WrestleChat.net. It is indeed where it's at.
Hey, Scott, as I was going to bed last night, I threw on a little 24/7.
Ah, yes.
They had the May update. And, of course, the show I've been waiting for to air, the 9/12/98 Raw from Lowell, Massachusetts. It was a special Saturday night edition, and that was the infamous Raw, where myself, our buddy Andrew, and our friend Adam attended, and due to a ticket fiasco, we ended up in the penalty box directly across from the ring. So throughout the whole show, you can actually see us sitting out in the penalty box, and I will say we had the embarrassing Al Snow 0-1, who's next sign, and you can see us, you can see me anyway, watching the Titantron the whole show, trying to see ourselves like idiots. So
did you, I don't remember, were there any, I don't remember any good matches on that show. What was the card? Do you remember what was going on that show?
Well, you know, I could tell you, or you could watch it, or there might be a website you could just look it up on.
Believe it or not, there is. And it is the history of WWE.com, the purveyed, of course, by our good friend, the great Graham Cawthon. It is a fantastic research site. You and I have used it ad nauseum over the last 9 years that we've known each other. And it's just an unbelievable site for all sorts of everything. Ring results, reviews, columns. All sorts of great stuff. And if you have a couple extra pennies in your pocket, You know, throw Graham a little bit because it helps him defray the cost of the site. He's a good guy. We've had him on many times. He did a great job helping us with our awesome Gary Michael Capetta interview. And, of course, he was on our Vintage Vault last week. So the history of WWE.com, a fantastic research site purveyed by our good friend Graham Cawthon. Go to it. It is easily the best information website you'll ever go to for pro wrestling.
And if you haven't listened to the episode yet, go check it out. You can listen to it on Stitcher.com, the Stitcher radio app on your iPhone, iPad, Droid, on the website as well. Especially with those recent episodes, I know the most recent is always up on there, streaming for your needs. You don't want to download, you don't have a chance to download it, and you just want to play it right off your smartphone, you can go ahead and do that. And you can also find us on iTunes, where a full archive exists. To search Place to Be or P2B seems to be the easiest way to find us. And you can look at all 125 episodes in our archive, go back and listen to anyone that may suit your fancy at that time. So also, come chat with us at the Place to Be message board. We're migrating a little bit away from Facebook. The Facebook page is still going to exist, and the chat room still exists on Facebook. Mm-hmm. But the message board is going to be where all our feedback is now housed, Asshole of the Week, and pay-per-view thoughts, and other things that you want to talk about, as well as many other topics. WWE, we have classic reviews on there, Scott and I's pay-per-view reviews on there. And we finally got one of our longtime fans, our buddy Irv C., who is from the Blog of Doom, big-time PTB podcast listener, has now joined us on the message board as well. So good to have him there. So everyone else should follow suit. We get a lot of good conversation there. We got our pay-per-view pick-ems there as well. So a good crowd, no issues, other than Matt Davis flare-up here and there. But other than that, it's a good group of guys and a lot of fun debating. And right now, of course, we have the sports movies tournament going on as well. So check that out.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing you should check out is the Leg Up on Lymphedema Facebook page. Of course, that is to help our buddy Jay Wimette. Jay is the man, but he is suffering from this terrible, terrible issue. And now we got more bad news that they're afraid this may have developed some sort of cancerous tumor. They don't know what's going on. So,
oh, no.
Jay keeps you updated. His spirits are always good, always positive on things, no matter how bad the situation gets. So he's a good friend of Grant Owens and becoming a good friend of ours here at the Place to Be podcast. So please visit that page and help him out however you can, whether it's just buying DVDs or just some moral support, whatever you can do to help Jay out. And we are in the talks with him as well as Scott and myself of doing a benefit show over the summer, a little trivia contest where the winner is going to get some of his DVDs. So stay tuned for that. Probably June, July, we'll bust that out. So another quick shout out to our buddy Dave Hall. Just want to wish you a happy birthday. I guess these Australians all celebrate their birthdays within weeks of each other, apparently. Everyone in the country.
Yes.
And finally, want to give one more quick plug for the DDP yoga. I am in the middle of week two here. I did it this morning after the baby woke up at 6. I was up at 6:15, busted my ass doing some yoga. And I'll tell you, man, this thing's a workout. Sweat my balls off. I felt good throughout the rest of the day. DDP has a hell of a product here. A lot of wrestlers use it. Stevie Richards uses it. Chris Jericho, Zack Ryder, and many others. So it's definitely worth the money. The nutrition guy that comes with it as well is really good. So DDP is a great motivator. It's a great product. I definitely recommend you checking it out, and hopefully we'll have him on soon himself to talk about it. So there you go.
I can't believe there was still room on that. How long is that bed?
Oh, I played it three times through.
Jesus. I think 1 week we may have to go. We may have to change things up and maybe play like the old ECW.
Well, I wanted to go. I got to find the Thunder song. I was going to go from Nitro into Thunder.
Nitro into Thunder. Then you have to find Jungle Boogie by Cool and the Gang, which is what they used to play for the ECW promos. All right. Let's dive right into our news and notes brought to you by our good friends at WrestleChat. Here is the original story. And then I have another one further on down the list. There was a huge backstage blow-up involving Brock Lesnar following Sunday's pay-per-view. Mike Johnson of PW Insider is reporting this. Several sources stated that Lesnar lost it on a number of WWE officials and started to rip apart the dressing room. He was apparently upset over the John Cena promo that ended the pay-per-view. Reports claim that the original plan was for Cena to be so beaten that he would have to be carried out of the building despite winning the match. This would have left it open for Lesnar to brag that while he lost the match by fluke, he won the war. Lesnar perceived Cena as double-crossing him when Cena decided to address the audience, causing Lesnar to flip out on WWE officials. No word on how Lesnar calmed down, but the angle on Raw featuring Triple H's return was planned in advance as a way to remove Lesnar from WWE television. Brock Lesnar's current deal with WWE only requires him for 2 dates minimum.
There you go.
There it is. And then they would put up those really bad, bad cheesy print shop or whatever the graphics program, Chiron program would come up. Saturday, July 17th at the Lewisburg Armory.
Lewisburg, eh?
Yeah. The Sand... Well, Lewisburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
The Sandman, Rego Park in Queens. All right, there you go. Mikey Whipwreck taking on stunning Steve Austin. What was that guy's name? Lance Wright? Is that
yes,
his name?
Yes,
Lance Wright. Yeah, Lance Wright, the promo guy. can't read the rest of the story. Seriously, no.
I'm going to play this during every new segment now.
Brock Lesnar's current deal with WWE only requires him to work 2 dates minimum, according to sources within the company. So there's the first
Well, do you have more on it later? How it was...
Yes, I believe okay. I have... let me just double-check. Speculate. Yes, I do. I have more later. So.
Mark, right. Just read it now. Makes sense.
Okay. Well, let me go to it. Let me find it. Where is it? I just lost it. Here it is. Okay. All right. This is what they're doing in the kayfabe side of it. WWE's website has a new storyline article up looking at whether or not the board of directors may take action against Brock Lesnar for his attack.
Well, not that part. You don't have the thing about it being a work?
I had another...
Anyway, I mean, the story is that story that you just read... it was worked, you know, to continue this whole Lesnar's character, and that there wasn't really any heat. And as we read in that other news story later, that came out later, is that Brock doesn't give a shit. So he's just so I've seen people say Cena double crossed him and that he's a douche, and that, you know, I've seen that it's a work, that it's a work shoot. So I mean, whatever. To me, if we know about it, it probably wasn't real.
Yeah, and. You know, like he said, oh, Cena pulled that crazy dive he took. Cena pulled the rope down on me and made me get hurt. I mean, he even Cena's, said that, but he didn't mean that. I think he was just blown off.
Yeah, stage. I mean, Cena's never been known to do anything like that. So.
No, I don't think so. All right, then I'll read this.
Gorilla, is the pocket got any air at all?
Yeah, there's the greatest idea of a worked shoot. Let's work to shoot him. No.
I want to see the Native American.
Now he was an episode of Are You Serious? They were making fun of Art of Dawn. Now there, that even made me mad. Come
I
want on, to
see
guys.
If those Native Americans from Dancing with Wolves can understand that. And the Badanka, man! What? Badanka. Who's Badanka?
All right. PWInsider.com reports that it wasn't The Miz who was originally cast as the lead in the upcoming movie, The Marine Homefront. Once Randy Orton was removed from the film, of course, there was a big stink because Orton was a deserter, and the Marine Corps said, you will not have him represent one of us. WWE champion CM Punk was pegged to star in the film. Vince McMahon vetoed that decision as he could not afford to keep Punk off television. Punk doesn't look like a Marine. I don't think that would have come off on television. The storyline in the movies. Storyline of the movie was changed to reflect the Miz's youthful appearance so that his character is chasing terrorists who kidnapped his niece. Film will begin shooting in Vancouver, British Columbia on June 11th for 20 days.
I think Miz will be fine.
I'll be fine. Punk would not.
Gorilla, is the pocket got any air at all?
At that point, Gorilla's like, who? Poor Savage had stuck out to go through that whole show. Yeah, no shit, Gorilla. Tyson Kidd wrote on Twitter that he has named his new submission finisher the Dungeon Lock.
That'd be good if we ever get to see it.
I know. Paying homage to his roots and the Hart family dungeon. The move looks like a mix between Hell's Gate and the Sharpshooter. That's interesting. Speaking of Kidd, he and Justin Gabriel's tag team will be featured on WWE TV when Gabriel returns from injury later this month.
Sure.
Yeah, another tag team.
Hopefully.
Yeah, another tag team we'll never see. This is very, very disturbing, this story. It's only one sentence. There was said to be a lot of on-the-fly booking at Sunday's WWE Extreme Rules pay-per-view and Monday's Raw Super Show.
Whatever.
Booking a free TV show on the fly is one thing. Booking a pay-per-view on the fly is something entirely different.
Well, I don't... Yeah. It's not even worth getting upset about it anymore.
At least we got 3 great matches out of it, so... Jeez. You should have an Art Donovan, Dennis Stamp match right there. I don't do any tricks. I don't want to do any tricks.
How much does he weigh, the talker?
He's a buffalo. WWE's website has a new storyline article up looking at whether or not the board of directors may take action against Brock Lesnar for his attack on Triple H this past Monday. They speculate that Lesnar's release papers may be on their way, but Lesnar's camp may take legal action because of contract demands previously made by John Laurinaitis. They wrote, quote, Adding one further wrinkle is the revised contract that Laurinaitis agreed to during the April 23rd edition of Raw. Among the new terms approved by the GM was a clause that waived any future fines or disciplinary actions against Lesnar. Triple H has already dismissed those additional contract perks as null and void, but could Lesnar's camp pursue legal action in the event that the board of directors or Triple H comes down on Lesnar? WWE also speculates that the board of directors may take action against Laurinaitis for his role in both things. So that's all storyline stuff.
Now, I missed the opener Raw. Did they do something with Brock? I read that there was something cool in the open or something. I don't know if you saw it. Like, cool. You know, it was supposed to be Raw starring Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, they had a graphic.
Was it okay?
Yeah, it looked all right. It was nothing great, but yeah, it was okay. We have a couple injury updates to let you know about. Evan Bourne has had the PICC line.
The PIC line? That's what our phone line's called, the PIC line.
Yes. Peripherally inserted central catheter. Ouch.
I don't do any tricks.
Do you have one of those, a PICC? Removed from his injured arm, but is still wearing a cast. Bourne was able to do a pull-up for the first time in 6 weeks yesterday.
Oh, good. Maybe we'll see him in 2016. Him and Michael Pineda, we'll see you together.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of our good friend and his new potential stable, Abraham Washington says former WWE Tag Team Champions Primo and Epico may be ready to sign with him. He wrote on Twitter Tuesday, after speaking with Primo and Epico last night, the former WWE Tag Team Champions might be ready to sign on the dotted line. Even though Epico and Primo lost the battle, by signing me with me, they will most certainly win. The Raw is war.
I like that stuff. I like these little kayfabe storyline furtherings, you know, things like this. I like that.
Just social media, yes.
I think Laurinaitis is one of the best on Twitter. He's great, the stuff he comes out with.
Yeah, no, he does. He does. Rey Mysterio's scheduled...
You don't know what you're talking about.
Hashtag, you don't know what you're talking about. Is that what it is?
That's your hashtag, yes.
Hashtag, I don't do any tricks. Rey Mysterio's hashtag scheduled appearance at the Wizard World Philadelphia Comic-Con on Sunday, June 30th.
And that's where I am now. I used to see the old guys that came in the dressing room that come around, and they looked like old dogs just hoping somebody would recognize them. Here, Spot.
Are you calling me an old dog, Dennis? I got a red shirt in the trunk.
I don't think we've ever gotten more feedback than we did from Atari.
Oh, my God. That was, folks, fans, if you have not listened to we want you to listen to the whole thing, but for the heck of it, it's about 1:15 change in there.
It was so hard at work today.
It's literally 5 minutes of just, I swear to God, I think Graham crapped himself during that fight. It was just awesome. Anyway, okay. Rey Mysterio's scheduled appearance at the Wizard World Comic Con on Sunday, June 3rd in Philly has been canceled. He's obviously serving a 60-day suspension for a second violation of the company's wellness program. There's rumors he's going to be released.
Yeah, I mean, he's saying it was some amphetamine and that he was had a, you know, I don't know, whatever. I wouldn't be shocked if they released him, honestly, at this point. Well, I mean, what else are they going to do with him? Although they should bring him back and put Sin Cara or someone over him and then get rid of him.
Get him out the door.
At least use him, you know what I mean? Get something out of him on his way out. Maybe Brock
exactly.
can beat him.
I'm sure.
someone Brock can beat.
Maybe you could do like Big Show did at Backlash 03 and stick him on the board there and freaking paste him into the post. Chris Jericho,
I want you to be there. You know, and I did ask you in April if I could referee some matches on.
I didn't need a referee, Dennis. You were an amputee.
Which would have been
tonight, Dennis.
Which would have been. Would, but I'm not on the card. I'm not booked.
You want to referee me and Brad?
You know, Dennis, you can ref my match or kill cockroaches the rest of your life.
He's a self-proclaimed king of the cockroaches.
It says tights. Tights have a fucking cockroach on them.
Like Uncle Jesse in the early episodes of Full House. When he's Jesse Cochran, before he was Jesse Katsopoulos.
Yeah, you know who would know that. You know who.
Oh, okay. I'm so sick of fucking Matt Rotella. Enough. With his nonsense in the sports movie, because he hasn't seen a movie, it clearly is not as good as other ones he has seen.
I see. I just keep my mouth shut. I see. He's hard to see. It's sad when I have to agree with him, and then he makes the whole opinion look stupid. But whatever.
Stupid. Enough. Rotellas.
Chris Jericho's band Fozzy will be performing during the Rockstar Upward.
They should perform this.
Oh, God. How about Funk and Dennis working in the Full House? Yeah.
Babysitting Michelle.
You can see him and the little twins and Dennis bouncing on the trampoline.
What happened to predict? I can't even do this. I can't even do it as well as you do.
I can't do it right now. I got to keep reading this. One of the anyway, this Rockstar Uproar Tour takes place August 15th through the September 30th. Wow, it's a long tour. One of the tour dates is August 19th, which is when SummerSlam is. WWE currently has Chris Jericho listed on their event page for the pay-per-view, so it remains to be seen if he will appear on the card. Jericho is not advertised for any shows with the exception of SummerSlam from August until the Raw Super Show on October 1st from the Chesapeake Energy Arena in Oklahoma City. He's also advertised for the...
Everywhere you look.
Not evolved.
You know what we need to watch as part of our movie watching podcast? We have to watch Roadhouse because, you know, he was in that.
I get to work with Patrick Swayze.
He's a good-looking, strapping guy.
I'm a big fan of Ghost.
He is also advertised for the WWE Overseas. Did you say he's watching Ghost?
I'm a big fan of Ghost.
Come on, Dennis, I'll watch Ghost.
Not I would have, but Ghost. I already have other arrangements. I can't watch Ghost with
you. The peel and eat shrimp at the Sizzler, I know. He's also advertised for the WWE Overseas Tour, which starts in late October. So we'll have to see what happens with...
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Oh, God. Can you just imagine the fucking stamp singing the song?
I've got hungry eyes, Dennis. They see you refereeing my match.
Oh, Graham's going to be so mad he's not part of this segment. Oh, my God. All right. Finley is now more active on his Twitter account, at FitFinley. Finley recently put over WWE talents Kofi Kingston, R-Truth, Evan Bourne, Darren Young.
I read that
Husky.
Was a fake Twitter. Shane Helms, I think, confirmed it's fake.
What, the at FitFinley?
Yes.
The rumors of myself returning to at WWE are false. I'm currently signed to Ring of Honor. That's fake?
I guess.
Oh, really?
That won't subside. You need to be my ref. Miss Jennifer Grey.
Teddy DiBiase wrote on Twitter that rehab for his ankle injury is going slower than he thought, but he's making progress. DiBiase says he'll return to WWE TV better than ever. While taking time off for the injury, he has been working on the DiBiase Foundation. Ted and his wife are expecting a baby in just a few weeks. This could be the new news bed now.
Should be.
My side. Oh, Dennis. Hungry eyes.
Oh, I'm gonna poke out your hungry eyes.
You egg-sucking dog. All right, more injury news. You just mentioned him a moment ago. During Monday's episode of Raw, the WWE Spanish announce team revealed that Sin Cara is scheduled to make his WWE ring return for the SmackDown brand's Mexico tour, May 24th through the 26th. Sin Cara has been off of WWE television since blowing his knee out at Survivor Series, right? Did it happen?
Yeah, yes. Yep, right.
It was at Survivor Series. Yeah, so he blew his knee out at Survivor Series at the Garden. It's possible that Sin Cara's return to television could come before the Mexico tour, but those are his first official advertised dates.
I don't do any tricks.
The hell you don't. We know what's going on. We saw you dancing at the Sheldrick. Well, the two old people are stealing everyone's wallets.
Oh, God.
Can't believe I know that storyline. But anyway, okay. So there's your news and notes. All right. And now, for the first time in 2012, we have for you the best interactive segment in all of global podcasts.
What kind of disgusting, despicable?
He's an asshole.
Who the fuck is this asshole?
You're all a bunch of fucking assholes.
Do you know who I am?
A grade A, genuine, authentic asshole.
Hey there, PTB Nation. It is now time for the greatest segment in podcast history. You know what I'm talking about. It is time now for the PTB's Asshole of the Week.
You're an asshole tonight.
It's a king asshole himself, Derek LaRue. That's right.
Exactly.
It's very fitting. He uses,
He gets the asshole lifetime achievement award. Yes. All right. Well, since Matt Hardy, I think, won the 2011 asshole of the year, we start brand anew with 2012. And we'll begin with our good friend Ed Harris, who says, Meta World Peace. Yes, the incident happened a little over a week ago, but it was still a colossal dick move on his part. A 7-game suspension is nowhere near enough. Ron Artest can change his name to whatever he likes, but he is and always will be a true asshole. Conversely, I might qualify as well, as I only realized I was typing this and reading a little more about the incident that Ron Artest changed his name. Guess I've been a little out of the loop.
Jason Greenhouse, Delman Young, learn how to handle your liquor, you anti-Semite.
You know what was the worst thing about that, though? He called the cops sweet tits.
Maybe he meant sweet Chuck. Maybe he was thinking of Police Academy. Better than being anti-dentite.
Wilkie goes, I got to go with Greeny on this one. Hey, sweet Chuck. I don't do well with ignorance, and Delman Young has shown a lot of ignorance. Young has had issues in the past with throwing the bat at the umpire and others, but this takes the cake. By the way, nice job, PICs, bringing this back. The PTB Nation thanks you.
What was Bobcat Goldthwait's name? Do you remember on that?
Oh, it was, rat or what the? I have to look it up now. You read the next one while I look it
Should
up.
Should I read it in Bobcat Goldthwait?
Oh, God, no.
David Vanver. Chassin. Sorry, we finally know his name. My vote goes to every single person who left racist tweets for that black player. It's a little contradictory, but for the African American. No, I guess black's okay. Black player in the NHL who won that game. I think it's more that he doesn't put his name. I don't follow hockey at all, but this display from NHL fans was sickening and disgusting, and every single one of those people should be ashamed of themselves. And, of course, that had to do with. Was that the Bruins one?
Yeah, that was Ward, I think his name was. Okay. Scored the goal, yeah. Look, if I didn't say anything, then nobody else should. And I was pretty pissed, but that's dumb. The guy scored the goal.
Yeah, he got harassed pretty big on
yeah, it sucks. No, it sucks. I mean, you know what? He wasn't in the second one? I thought he was. Was he in the second one? Their first assignment? Yeah.
No, he was the gang leader, and then he becomes a cop.
Oh, he's not in the cast. Let me go to the third movie. Police Academy.
I know there's one. He becomes a cop. He's like a gang member.
Yeah, back in training. Let's see.
I'll read Jay D'Amato. Delman Young, who'll be replacing Danny Glover's Mel Gibson's partner, Lethal Weapon 5. He even told that female cop that arrested him, thanks, sugar tits.
Oh, he was Zed.
Oh, Zed. That's what it was.
Zed. He was Zed.
Yes.
Great movies. Great movies, mm-hmm. by the way. Excellent movies. Jay Hinchy, I got to go with the idiot from Nike who blamed Derrick Rose's Adidas shoes. Then he tried to backtrack and attack people by saying he didn't say that. What a douche. Why wasn't he fired?
Stupid.
Because Phil Knight likes that's what he thinks. So,
our buddy Sean Watts has to go Delman Young too. He's just a schmuck who's made many poor decisions and needs to pay for them finally.
Yes. Safazio says my asshole of the week should be Brock for hurting Triple H's arm.
Trying to get in good with you, I think.
Yeah, I didn't write that. I swear I didn't.
And our buddy Irv C from the Blog of Doom finally made it here, hoping this posts. We'll try to get in the swing of things with Asshole of the Week and feedback, so let's get started. My first pick for Asshole of the Week is Amari Stoudemire, who did not learn from Bill Goldberg about punching glass with his bare hands. As a disgruntled Knicks fan, it sucks knowing the sweep is almost inevitable at this point. Yeah, the sad part is I still remember the last time I went to a Knicks playoff game, 11 years ago, which is also the last time they won. Sucks so much more that they're playing Miami, a city of sports teams I hate across the board.
Yeah, things in Knickville are pretty awful. Speaking of the Asshole Lifetime Achievement Award, here he is right here. Mr. LaRux says, Amare Stoudemire on the glass breaking. First off, he's not stone cold. God. Can we edit these? People can break their hands doing that. Plus, he has potentially screwed the Knicks by likely not being able to participate for the rest of the playoffs, and he's not. He had surgery today on his
hand. He's saying he's going to be back for game four. The Knicks are denying that.
Oh, well, we'll see.
So good times there.
By then, it could be 3-0. Yeah. Just like Irv said, he didn't learn from Goldberg. He didn't learn from others, including Kevin Brown. Inanimate objects always win. My second choice is John Harbaugh. The guy actually said the Pats Super Bowl titles are now stained because of Spygate. He then clarifies and says that he bases this on the public's perception. If you said that in the first place, moron, it might be a different story, but you didn't. It's crazy what people say and how the ramifications
He basically did say that in the first place, though. I heard the quote today, and I mean, he basically intimated that, you know, the perception of these things is that it could be stained because of their past cheating. And they did cheat, so fucking deal with it. You know what I mean? It's like, he's holier than thou football fans of certain teams. You know, get over it. Your team cheated. You got caught. It is what it is. Stop trying to defend it. Just live with it.
Yeah.
Matty Mars, gonna go with Stoudemire. What a douche. On the wrestling end, whoever idea it was to have Cena say at the end of Extreme Rules he's going on vacation, only to have a match against Johnny Ace at Over the Limit. I was totally confused by all this, and also the fact that Ace is feuding with Punk for months and never had a match. Now all of a sudden he has one with Cena. Just confusing.
And his boy there, Matty Mars' boy, the Burt Reynolds of PTB Nation, Steve Gross. I'm going in a different direction and saying Tim Beckham, minor league AAA prospect for the Tampa Bay Rays. This dumbass gets suspended 50 games for violating the MLB drug rule for a second time, allegedly for some weed. Are you serious, Tim? The icing on the cake for this loser is that the same day he gets suspended, Evan Longoria goes down for a month with a hamstring injury. Who do you think the Rays would have probably called up? Yep, this asshole Beckham. He would have made his big league debut. Now he gets to sit home and play Xbox for 2 months. Way to go, loser. I'd actually move Longoria off my fantasy team for the time being. There is your PTB Nation Assholes of the Week. I'd have to say, PIC, that I think Delman Young gets the vote.
Yeah, Delman Young had the most, so we'll go with him. I mean, he's an idiot. He got that big fight right before the series with the Yankees. The anti-Semite, anti-Semitic comments and the fight with the cops. So, yeah, this is stupid. The guy with the past that really should just mind his business.
Yeah, pretty much. So there is your PTB Nation.
I think Sugar Tits is a nice nickname for LaRue.
They're big enough. Come on, Dennis, be my little sugar tits. Okay. All right. So why don't we got some time. We're not doing too bad. Why don't we quickly talk about some sports?
Okay.
The first thing we need to talk about, a very, very tragic story today. Mm-hmm. The death of all pro linebacker Junior Seau, longtime San Diego Charger, then went to the Patriots, found dead today at his home in California, 43 years old, apparently shot himself.
Now, he had depression issues, and he tried to kill himself last year. He drove off a cliff, and he survived. And I've seen a couple of places, I don't know if it's officially been released yet, that there's a suicide note, and he put in the note that he shot himself in the chest so that his brain could be studied for the traumatic syndrome that most of these football players have been found to have. Of course, Duerson was the last guy earlier this year last year that had the same issue. So, mean, it'll be interesting to see, not to compare the two situations, but, how Chris Benoit, that whole fiasco changed the world of wrestling. I'd be curious to see if, a guy like this, Duerson is one thing, kind of an older player, not as well known, but now you have a star in Junior Seau, killing himself like this and then basically admitting in this note that it was because he's fucked up in the head, probably from football. So I'm really curious, and I'm not trying to make, the most important thing obviously is that the guy was this fucked up that he took his own life. Obviously that it was tragic and awful. But I'm curious to see how this affects football in general going forward. I mean, is it going to phase it out eventually? Are there going to be less people playing? Are they going to eliminate it at a youth level, in high school level? I wouldn't be surprised if more parents, and I've already seen parents on different message boards and our own blog, our own friend Jordan Duncan has said it, that, and our other buddy Steve Will has said as well that they wouldn't let their sons play football, and Jordan actually discouraged his son from it. So I would be curious to see how this progresses over the years with more and more coming out and, kids at that age, your brain is developing so much, and to suffer head trauma and concussions at age 8 or 9 in peewee football is just not a good thing. So I'd be curious really to see the effect long term on football, progressing up at least through high school, if schools really start to move away from it.
Well, the unfortunate thing is they have kind of adjusted, a lot of the equipment now. Helmets are a little better padded.
It's still so violent, such a violent
game. It's an incredibly violent sport. I don't disagree with you. Unfortunately, Junior Seau started playing in the 90s when, the equipment was not as advanced as it is now. And obviously, former WWE wrestler Chris Nowinski has done a lot of research on this. That's why I think sports like lacrosse and soccer are becoming much more popular.
Well, soccer, is equally as dangerous as well at a youth level now that they've moved away from a lot of the heading, but there was a lot of concussion issues in soccer as well for younger children.
I didn't really know that. I played a couple of years myself.
Wow. Case
I know. Yeah, well, what? What? I think a lot of
case in point.
There's always basketball and more kids playing baseball, softball. There's so many other sports.
Basketball might be the sport that benefits the most, honestly, from this. But we'll see. Who knows? So. This could be something that people continue to turn a blind eye on and say, screw it, we don't care, whatever we want to be. In the end, I believe this with wrestling, and I believe it with football, and I believe it with hockey and every other sport. You're signing your name on it. And, you know, the consequences, you know what could happen. If you want to destroy your body, then, you know, for money or fame or just for the adrenaline boost of it, then, you know, go ahead. But, you know, if I do have a son someday or they allow women to play football, my daughter, neither will be allowed to do that kind of thing because I wouldn't want to put them through the potential risks that football has been proven to show.
Yeah. No, I could see your daughter being
look at Jason Street.
Never exactly. Look at Riggins. Jason Street's paralyzed. Riggins is an alcoholic. I mean, you know, he was the best guy in that show anyway.
I had a good Friday Night Lights quip at work today, and no one got it. It was very sad. My friend Soap is going to be selling his car, and he said he was going to try and just find some used dealership just to get rid of it because it's just giving him so many problems. I said, you should bring it to the Riggins boys' chop shop, and no one got it.
Oh, that's weak.
Sad.
It was either that or I thought you were going to – it was either that reference or you make the reference to what's his name's dealership there?
Oh, Buddy.
Buddy's dealership.
He was on Parks and Rec last week, Buddy Garrity.
Was he? Yeah. Buddy Garrity? What a great show. I got to watch that again. I think the full seasons are on Netflix now. I got to watch it. I love that show.
I was like
a season and a half, but –
one of my best – and I cannot believe you didn't get it because he's a huge Friday Night Lights fan. Josh Richard, we're playing that drawing game on the iPhone.
Oh, right.
And one of the ones I had to do was Tyra. And obviously it was meant to be, I think, Tyra Banks. But I did – I drew Tyra from Friday Night Lights, and I drew Landry, and I put the little jersey on him and the kicking, and then I love you. And he didn't get it. He didn't get Tyra. I was so upset about it.
That's weak.
Of all people, I thought he'd get it.
Oh, man. So anyway, our condolences go out to Junior Seau's family. This guy was an All-American linebacker at USC, one of the greatest of all time for the San Diego Chargers. I don't think he ever won a ring, though, right? He wasn't on any of the Pats too late, right?
No, he was there for the post-spygate when they didn't win anymore.
Post-spygate was when they had to play by the rules.
Yeah.
So anyway, rest in peace, Junior Seau. I hope in the next life, he's not a tortured man. It's very sad, very sad. NHL playoffs, two games tonight. They're in overtime down in D.C. The Caps and Rangers are tied at one, as is the series tied at one. And they're finishing off the second period in Nashville. This is
Smashville.
Smashville. They're up 2-0 right now on the Coyotes, who lead the series 2-0. So it's Preds got to get back in it tonight.
Yeah, I'm looking for the Predators. I want Phoenix to move, so I don't want them to win.
I want Phoenix to move back to Hartford. So
they're not going to move there. They're probably going to move to Quebec. But
that's right. I wouldn't mind seeing the Nordiques back anyway. But no team will go to Hartford until a new building's built. They're not going back to that dump at the mall.
They're probably not
going to
go back there anyway. Sadly,
sucks. Yeah. It pisses me off. I will never leave being a Bruins fan, but it was nice having the Whalers here. Devils with a big win last night. That series is tied at one with the Flyers. And how about the Kings?
Oof.
They are bitch slapping the Blues.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah. I mean, they could be a perfect epitome of a team that got hot at the right time and have a tremendous goalie. So, I mean, those are really the key.
Exactly. All right. NBA playoffs quickly. A big win for yours and my Pacers tonight. They pummeled, and they mean pummeled, the Magic tonight, 97-74.
Yeah, I think that first game made them realize that, oh, shit, we can't fuck around too much. This team still has some talent.
Yeah.
So I think Indiana closes this out in five.
Yeah. I'm kind of, you know, I'm torn because I would love to see Orlando win without Dwight Howard because I personally would vote him for an asshole of the week, but didn't happen. Elsewhere.
I still think they should trade him. I think they should just give him a big fuck you for re-signing there and just trade him.
Yeah. Do you think he'll go to the Nets?
I don't even know if I want him at this point, honestly, as a pseudo Nets fan.
I don't even know if I want him as a Laker fan. I don't even know if I want him right now. Bynum seems like he's learned his lesson finally. Mm. Anyway, in the West, the Spurs with a big win tonight. They beat the Jazz by 31. So
Spurs are gonna be tough to beat. They look good.
I think they're beatable. I still think the best team is Oklahoma City. But second quarter, Memphis leads the Clippers by two. Memphis wants to come back from that horrific collapse on Sunday. Terrible. 27-point deficit.
I mean, Memphis to me is a sneaky team to maybe win at all. They're really, really good, and I was surprised they blew that big of a lead.
Yeah. The other series, as we've talked about during the asshole of the week, the Knicks are fucked. They're down 2-0. They bring nothing to the table. Celtics, gotta give Big Green a little credit. Nice gutsy comeback win last night over the Hawks without Rondo. And they're up 1-1 heading to the up to 1-1. It's 1-1 going to
The Celtics, you know, they got a decent chance here because if they get by Atlanta, which they should, and then they catch either Indiana or Orlando, both beatable teams, and they kind of set themselves up most likely for shutout Miami, who I don't know, the Bulls are in trouble.
Ask you, PIC, that series is tied at one heading to Philly. How far can the Bulls go?
Well, we'll see what they're made of, because you know, losing Rose is obviously a big deal, but they played without Rose for a lot of this year, and you know, are these guys going to sack up and you know, beat a team that should be in Philly, or are they going to, you know, just be down on themselves and let them, you know, just let this whole season go to waste, basically. I'd like to see them show some balls and beat Philly. They should beat Philly. I mean, Philly had a solid season, but, you know, I'm hoping that was just kind of a shock and awe game where they just were still, you know, mind blown by what happened. So we'll see how they bounce back in Philly. But I can't see them beating Miami like this. But if Chicago advances, they would play Boston anyway, and I think the Celtics can beat them. So, you know, I think the Celtics are fine until they have to play Miami, which should not happen until
the finals.
Yeah.
The East finals. Yeah. In the West, well, we talked, the Spurs are now up 2-0 on Utah. They're at the half now in Memphis, and the Grizzlies lead by 4, 51-47.
See, I didn't realize that was in Memphis. I thought it was in L.A. when L.A. came back the other night. That was even bigger comeback.
Yeah, the Grizzlies are the 4 seed, and the Clips are the 5.
God, who would have thought 8 years ago we'd be talking about a great Grizzlies Clippers playoff series?
I know, really. No kidding, huh? And, you know, this is kudos for Zach Randolph, who's had such a troubled NBA career, to be able to carry a team like this as far as he can.
Yeah.
Speaks volumes. And Blake Griffin. Not many people consider this guy a leader. Mm. You know, they think he's just an athlete and Chris Paul does all the work. This guy, you know, he's a guy whose shoulders you can jump on, you know, and we'll see how far they go. Tomorrow night, game 3 in Dallas. I don't know how much the champs have left. I mean, Oklahoma City's just run them up and down the court.
Oklahoma City is an all or nothing team. If their shots aren't falling, I don't know. You know, their points are hard to get, and there's still a little bit of issue with Westbrook and Durant over the Alpha Dog. So I think they have enough to beat Dallas, but I don't know. I think they may still be a year away, honestly, from being the championship level team.
And the Lakers lead Denver 2-0, game 3 Friday night in Denver.
Yeah, I was hoping for more out of Denver, honestly.
I was expecting a little bit more competition as well, I'll be honest with you. They just can't score. And right now, Bynum, thank God, I'm saying as a fan, thank God Bynum's figured out that his size matters and he could stay healthy. I don't know how far the Lakers will go. I don't think, they're not going to win the whole thing. If they do, it would be the most incredible effort ever, and I think would really... that's what I'm thinking of. Not justify, validate Kobe as one of the greatest of all time if they pull this off. But I don't know if that'll happen. So it's your NBA playoff update. A lot of shakeup. We won't get into a whole big thing now, but a lot of shakeups in college basketball. Conferences are changing teams. 6 new teams going to Conference USA, and a lot of shifting going on there. Baseball's early on. You know, the Dodgers are playing well. Nats are playing well.
Rangers.
What's your take on the Angels? Why are they what's their struggles right now?
I didn't like them to begin with. I don't know. I thought they had great pitching, but I didn't think they had much offense, honestly. And with Pujols struggling, they're really in trouble. And now we saw them promote Mike Trout. We'll see if that gives them a boost. But they may be done in that division already, because what are they, 9 back or something like that already?
Yeah, because Texas, they're 9
back
out.
I mean, they can still come back and grab one of the wild card spots. But I didn't really like them to begin with. And it wouldn't shock me to see them just really underperform this year. I mean, unless they're pitching, it's super hot and Pujols heats up, but he has been a train wreck.
Well, it's funny that he signed all that money and he's actually playing in a deeper ballpark. Mm. I mean, he was the recipient of some, you know. Yeah, I mean, the pitch in the American League is.
I think it's going to be almost similar to Crawford. Crawford belongs in L.A. and Pujols belongs back in St. Louis. I think both guys chased the money without really thinking things through and realizing, you know. Maybe not the best move.
Yeah. What do you think of the Tampa? You know, the Rays. I thought the Rays were gonna have a pretty good year, and right now their pitching is really carrying them right now.
Yeah, and their hitting hasn't been too bad either. I mean, they're winning close games. I don't know if they ended up winning tonight. Another one, a back and forth battle.
I think they won. Let me take a look. Pretty sure they. Let me think. Oh my God, they're in the 10th inning in Atlanta. And the Phillies and Braves are 13-13.
Jeez. Well, I guess Halladay blew a 6-0 lead in one inning.
Oh, my God. Mets lost again. You know, it pissed me off. They actually, you know, I mean, again, I know they're the Mets, but the division's actually right now at the point where they can maybe get a little steam and maybe get some traction. Took 2 out of 3 from Colorado, and then they got swept by the fucking Astros. That sucks, but what are you going to do? Cardinals are actually up 12-2, so it looks like they don't even need a Pujols right now. They're scoring runs at a
pretty good point. Doing fine. I mean, Beltran is a guy who I wanted the Yankees to go after this offseason. You know, he's really helped carry their offense, especially with Berkman out now.
Oh, the Orioles won again tonight? Oof.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that.
Wow, that's rough. Okay, so there's your baseball update. Not much going on. It's early in the season. We'll talk more about it as we go along. One more quick thing before we go, and I mentioned it earlier. Three DVD deals. One of them, of course, and we're going to say this a lot, our good friend Jay, who met a dollar a show, really, right? Or a dollar a tape. What is it? A dollar a tape?
A dollar a DVD.
Dollar a DVD.
Mm-hmm. And he's got everything. I mean, if you want his list, just hit him up on Facebook. And he might have even posted it on the Facebook Place to Be Chats page. But his list is impressive. He records everything from 24/7 every month. And, a dollar a disc. You know, we've got everyone buying from him now, thankfully.
Yeah.
Really helping him out. Our buddy Ashley Cruz. Michael Vincent Schutz has been hitting him up. And, you know, we know Grant always purchases things from him as well. So, and a few other guys, too, that I'm missing right now. But, you know, good guy, Jay. And if you got the money to spend, I mean, hell, $20, you can really help his cause, and you get 20 great DVDs. So
yeah,
it's a hell of a deal.
I'm definitely going to load up on some of my early stuff. I'm going to see if he can dub, if he's got copies of some older, you know, shows on DVD, because obviously our tapes aren't going to last forever. But two store deals you might want to know about. Right now, it's on, actually, you posted it on our, you actually sent it to me privately on Facebook, but it's on WWEDVDnews.com. Right now, Best Buy's got a redonkulous $5.99 DVD sale, free shipping, which is crazy.
Yeah, ton of 09s, ton of 08s, 07s, and other compilation
sets. A couple of 11s, too, yeah. And a friend of ours, a former coworker of JR's and a friend of mine, there's a Walmart upstate here in Connecticut in a town called Milford that actually has wrestling two-packs for $10. So you might want to check out your local Walmart and see if they have them. Mm-hmm. The two here in Norwalk are pieces of crap, so they don't have anything. But you might luck out. So check your local Walmart, and you might actually get a pretty good DVD deal. Pick up some new stuff. Of course, the next big DVD coming out, obviously Tuesday, is WrestleMania. And then I think the 22nd is that Best of Clash of the Champions is coming out. So then we got the Falls Count Anywhere, that ECW Unreleased Volume 1's coming out. What else is coming out? Oh, No Holds Barred, of course. Mm-hmm. I know you're looking forward to that.
No Holds Barred.
No, is Funk in that?
No.
Come on, Zeus. Come on, Zeus.
Stan Hansen.
So, Stan, oh, Jesus. talk about stiff hits.
You know, speaking of ridiculous tape collections, I spent about an hour and a half putting mine back together at my new house Saturday night.
All those.
My dad was just staring at me, shaking his head repeatedly. As I'm on the ground, like, digging through, trying to organize our numbered tapes. And he's like, how do you know what's what? I'm like, we get everything numbered. Scott and I went through this many weekends we spent cataloging these tapes. So,
We've done a lot over time.
DVDs and tapes are, not much else is set up, but DVDs and tapes are ready to go.
So, but yeah, so those are a few DVDs, but definitely, I mean, the store deals are good, but definitely look and hit up Jake Metz's list. It's pretty badass, I gotta say. Definitely for older stuff. If you want to get some older pay-per-views, if you have, like, again, I have a lot of the tapes, as does JR, but, you know, VHS tapes are only going to last so long before the oxide starts to fry off on them. So definitely, they'll definitely hook you up, and it's for a good cause. You definitely could use the help, and your prayers are always very helpful as well. So
yep, definitely. And like I said, we're going to try and do some kind of podcast benefit for them over the summer.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm thinking, like, a trivia tourney where it's like a dollar entry or something, and then, you know, the winner, the pool, and plus we'll match it. It's something crazy like that. You know, we'll try and get as many entries as we can, and you just do, like, maybe best of three trivia, and we'll have everyone call in and be part of it. So,
yeah.
Something neat like that we'll set up.
Yeah. Yep.
If you have any ideas for it, let us know. But that's kind of what I'm thinking. Dollar entry, however much goes into the pot, the winner gets, and then Scott and I match it, and we send all that money to Jay, and he sends DVDs out to the winner.
Yep. So, all right. I think we're good.
Yeah.
I think we've cleared our list. So why don't you do your customary farewell?
Okay.
And, be on the road.
Facebook at Place to Be Podcast and the Place to Be Live chats. Hit us up there. We love chatting live during pay per views and Raws and everything else. Visit us more likely at our message board, Place to Be Bigelow34.proboards.com. You can compete in the sport or take part in the sports movie tournament. Scott I's written reviews are there, and all of the feedback for the Place to Be podcast is now housed there as well. You can hit us up on Twitter, Place Number 2B Podcast. We're always on there retweeting and tweeting away, and anyone who follows us will follow you right back. So check us out there as well. So with all that said, this is our only show for this week. Just a lot going on right now between my move and then other stuff Scott's got going on. So no vault this week, but next week we should be back with both shows. And we're also closing in, like I said, on a point where we're probably going to have a few weeks off due to the move and me just not having cable. So we'll keep you abreast of that situation. But we'll be back soon after that, and we'll come back strong with the Jay Womet trivia contest and other stuff too. So
yes.
With all that said, thank you for listening. As always, Place to Be Nation, have a great weekend. Take care. We'll talk to you next week.